If I was to say to us as a congregation, do you know that God loves you? Hopefully,
yes.
You, exactly. Thank you. You would say yes. I know God loves me. But that's not my question. My question is, and I don't want you to answer it yet, I want you to answer it at the end. My question is, do you love God?
Yes.
So let me challenge. There's lots of expressions in the Bible. When you look through Scripture, there's lots of expressions about love. And when we look in the Hebrew, there's say four I want to pick on. Four words that still mean the same thing, love. But they have a different expression. Anyone can give me one of them?
Philia.
Who?
Philia.
Philia. Yeah, that one. What does that mean? It's when you look at the story and you look at the account of David and Jonathan, you could see there's almost a filial love. Philadelphia gets his name from that, the city of love. But it's love, isn't it? It's that word love. Filio, it's that brotherly connection there. Eros is not the same, is it? It's sensuality. It's not the same. So if I was to say to you, Claire, I filio you, you'd go, thank you, brother, I filio you back. But you don't want me to use the other one, do you? You don't want me to say, I eros you. I filio your children. I eros your children. Can you see what I'm saying? When we hear the word love, yeah. It's not the same, is it? If I say agape, you go, oh, what a wonderful word. It's God's love for us, his people. And there's opportunities that we will have to agape people, to love them in an unconditional way. There's a storge love. That's that love I was talking about with my father and my mother, that they, in America, they call them mama bears. You don't want to get between a mama bear and their children. You will understand how much they love their children. So when we look at this word love, I want you to understand that there are many different ways of expressing love. And they can overlap and they can interact. And when we're talking about a love of a couple that have come together through marriage, you can see an overlap in these words. But outside of that, when we say, I love you, brother, we mean, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. There's a storge love. There's a filial love. There's an agape love. And there's an eros love. So when we hear that word, love, let's not just assume that love is love. What do we mean by that? And I want us to look at one or two things together as I encourage us and yet challenge us in God's word. And just look in, I've got it up here, 2 John 1, it says, and this is love, and this is love. Let's just read a little bit further. And something we like to do is try and get context, and we want to see this picture, this thread that runs through Scripture, so that we can truly understand what it is God is saying to us, and what I'm challenging us with when I say, do you love God? To the lady chosen by God, and to her children whom I love in the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah? So to love in the truth, in Christ Jesus. And there's a way, if we want to get to that agape love, which is a difficult love, let me tell you that. We can maybe achieve the filio or the storge. But the agape, we need to understand that we can only love in the truth that way. And that's in Christ Jesus. And not I only, but also all who know the truth. And Scripture says, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Even when we look at this word love. Because of the truth which lives in us. And just think about this portion of Scripture. The truth that lives in us. What's the truth that lives in us? It's Christ. You must be born of my spirit. You must, I in you, you in me, we're connected. Christ lives in us. And when we talk about truth, so if we want to really experience love, I suggest that it comes from the inside and it comes from the truth that lives within us. So as Christians, when we say, do we know that we're loved by God? We can say yes. As Christians, when we say, do we love God? We can say yes. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. Is that word love? But it's not eros, is it? No, it's not. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, that we philio one another, that we storge one another, that we agape one another, that we journey, But my question is, do you love God? And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. This is how we know if we love God. We walk in obedience to his commandments. In John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. Keep my commands. And I will ask the Father and he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever. You see, if we can achieve that love that God wants us to love the world with and to love one another with, we need to have that advocate. That one that's on the inside saying, yes, you can. Do I have to forgive? Yes, you do. Why? Because I forgave you. Do I have to love them? Yes, you do. How do I do that? By loving me first. See, we'll never love the world unless we love God. Not with the same love. We may love as the world does, and that's why I put the explanation there. Love is not love. What word are we looking for here? So when you hear that next, look at the fruit around what's being said. To love me, God says, is to follow my commands. In John 14:21, whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. So my question is, do you love God? The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. In John 14:23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. You see, the Bible says that God will never leave us as orphans, but we've been adopted into his family. What a challenge, but what an awesome responsibility too. John 15:10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Do we want to remain in God's love? Then how do we do that? By keeping his commands. Which commands? Well, look them up. I don't have enough time to go through what God says, but there is one very, very important commandment that he gives his people. Do you know what that is? To love one another as I have loved you. That's quite a big thing, isn't it? Just think about it. To love one another. I brought you four interpretations of love. One of them is not relevant. The other three can be very difficult. One can be extremely difficult. But God's command to us, and when we look at the law and we look at all the commands, and he brings it down to five, he brings it down to three, he brings it down to two, he brings it down to one. The most important one is to love one another. So love is not love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger. Yes, we understand that. But for us to be able to love the world, we need to first love God. And to love God is a lifestyle. And if we love him, we'll keep his commands. In John 15:10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. 1 John 2:3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. So I could ask the question, do you know God? And you could say, yes. Do you keep his commands? Yes. Yes. I try to. That's my answer. I try to. I try to. 1 John 3:22. And receive from him everything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. Lord, would you answer my prayer? Yes, God says. Keep my commands. Don't forsake the meeting together. Forgive. Love your brothers and sisters. Love the world just as I have loved the world. And I suggest we can't do that unless we love God. The one who keeps God's commands, 1 John 2:3:24, the one who keeps God's command lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gives us. See, so the Bible has this thread that runs all the way through. It says, listen, if you really want to love with my love, you need to wait for the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to indwell you. The Holy Spirit indwells you. When we say, Lord, forgive me, enter, come, make up residence. So my question is still the same. Do you love God? In fact, in 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Yeah, but God, you don't understand how hard it is. My grace is sufficient. Yeah, but you don't understand how horrible they are. My grace is sufficient. You see, to be able to love them, it's easy. First, we love him. And as we love him, he takes our burdens. How do we do what God calls us to do when it comes to loving the world and loving one another? You know, in church, I heard a man put it like this once, and I like it. He says, in church, it's like metals, different metals being blended together. It causes friction. But if we're going to filio, if we're going to love each other with that brotherly, sisterly love, then we're going to rub each other up the wrong way at times, aren't we? How shallow can love be? I love you today, but you don't pay me what you owe me. I don't love you tomorrow. Does God do that with us as children? No, why? Because it's agape. It's agape. If we want to achieve agape, then we have to rely on the Spirit that lives within us. Because I don't know about you, maybe it's just me, but I struggle to love some people. Really love some people. Keep no record of wrongs. I struggle sometimes. Yeah, but you... Yeah, okay, Lord. Yeah? And church is a place where we should be challenged and encouraged and stretched and go out going, thank you, Lord, that you love me. Help me to love you more. Because as we love him more, we'll keep his commands. As we keep his commands, he'll endow us with that agape. We may just be languishing in the storge. I have a love for my family, but I struggle with everybody else. 1 John 5:3. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. 2 John 1:6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commandments. There's a thread, isn't there? You know, so when we say, what is love? And just dig into the Bible. This is love. Do you know what? The nails didn't hold Jesus on the cross, did they? Love did. Yeah? Just imagine, it horrifies me when I see the picture of this body that's been torn. Sometimes we struggle with people saying things to us, don't we? They called me a name. They didn't invite me to the party. Everyone else was at the barbecue, but I wasn't theirs, just because I'm a Christian. But Jesus didn't hang on the cross because the nails kept him there. It was love, agape. It wasn't eros. It wasn't filio. It wasn't storge. It was agape. Unconditional love. I choose to stay here for you. And that's a love that we're going to struggle with. But it doesn't mean we can't journey. So, hopefully we're sitting comfortably. That was my introduction. I want to share one or two more scriptures with us, but it's all about love. You get the point. But the question is, do you love God? And the answer should be yes. Help me to love you more. Because he can't love you any more than what he already does. But you see, when I go back to what I said about my parents, my mother never came out of my mum's mouth, "I love you, son." But I can look now as a Christian. I can look back at my life and I can see the sacrifice that she made for me. And I can honestly say, my mum loved me. So sometimes when you look around you, you might not get the affirmation that you're seeking. But when someone turns up to do something for you because they want to, that's a sign of love. That's brotherly love, sisterly love. I don't have to, I choose to. When someone defends you, they're standing in the gap. It's love. This is my family. You pick on her, you pick on me. You abuse him, you abuse me. We stand together. And through God's grace, we will too stand with you. And God will give us what we need to love. In John 21 verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Good question, isn't it? Do you love God more than these? Do you love God more than you love your children? Do you love God more than you love your career? Do you love God more than you love your bank balance? Do you love God more than you love your reputation? These are all valid questions, and they're summed up in what Jesus says to Peter. Now, we understand that Peter denied him three times, and we're looking for an affirmation here, but let's just look at the topic. Let's just look at what Jesus is saying. He didn't say, "Peter, do you know you stuffed up? You got it wrong. You denied me." He said, "Peter, do you love me?" And so often in life as Christians, we get it wrong and we think God is asking us a question that we've made up. But he's simply saying to us, I think, "Do you love me? Well, walk forward then. Do you love me? Feed my lambs." You see, how can we show God that we love him? We can take the young in the faith, the young in age, and we can feed them. What do we feed them on? God's word. We can be nourished by all kinds of things, but the one thing as Christians that we can give to one another and to those that are starving spiritually is God's word. He says to Peter a second time, "Do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." You see, the one good thing about our lives is God knows it. God knows it. He knows our hearts, doesn't he? You know, when we use words like, "God called us, God chose us," the reality is, he did because he loves us. "Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm like." Have you been in this position? I'm going to preach if you don't mind. As Christians, I find it, and I'm talking from experience, so I don't know if this has happened to you, but I want you to get the essence of what I'm trying to say, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will do the rest. As Christians, we know that we come by faith, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Yes? Through faith alone. I trust that what you did on the cross for me, when you hung there because you loved me, it was finished. Final. I accept it. Help me. And then we become Christians, followers of Christ. And we look into God's word and we see how God has blessed someone. We look at our neighbour, we look at our friends, and we look at how much they're gathering around them, and they never seem to be ill, and I'm in a wheelchair, and they never go to hospital, and I'm having an operation. "I thought you loved me, Lord." You know, there's a story in the Bible where they asked Jesus, which one sinned? Was it this man that he to be born blind, or was it his parents? And so often, the world can look at us and we can look at ourselves and go, "God doesn't love me because look at me." That has nothing to do with it, you know, the outward. It's what's on the inside. God loves you unconditionally, because he does. And all he asks us to do is walk in obedience to him. So if you can say, yes, I love him, then we'll walk in obedience to his commands. Let's look into scripture. Let's dig into scripture and say, well, what commands? There are certain things we know it's not good to do, don't we? Don't murder, or else you'll end up in prison. Don't commit adultery, or you'll end up in the grave. Some of you may get that, some of you may not. Do not lie, do not steal, do not murder. Do not rob. To rob someone and to steal from them, we can rob things and not know we're doing it. We can steal from people and know exactly what we're doing. We know these things, they're written on our heart. But when it comes to true love, it's not about what we do and fail in. It's about what he has done and not failed us in. So when we look at ourselves and say, God, how can you love me? He said, because I chose you from the beginning of the world. Oh, Lord, how can you love me? If you only knew what it was I did or I said, I do, I have. You see, I know you. I know you. And when we look at the word know you, it's not like the Eros love where I know you just as Adam and Eve knew each other that way. I know you. I know you intimately with that agape love. I know you. Feed my sheep. Simon Peter, do you love me? You know that I love you. And that's a question that God could ask us all today. Do you love me? And you would say, yes, I do. Follow my commandments. There's a challenge, isn't there? Now, I know we come to church to be uplifted and encouraged, and I believe this is an encouraging word. Because it doesn't matter what you do, you can't separate yourself from the love of God. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? So when we're talking about love, sorry, you're in. God loves you. You can't escape it. So that's good news. In John 14, verse 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So when we hear someone say, I love God, do they obey his teaching? What teaching is that? Look it up. You see, it's easy for a minister, someone who brings God's word, to dovetail it to try and say something that it doesn't say. But that's not my gifting. My gifting is to simply say this. Anyone who does not love God will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. See, this is why as Christians that have been born of God's Spirit, we can rely on God to help us. See, we're not on our own. We're not on our own. And we'll remind you of everything I have said to you. If you haven't heard it, God can't remind you. If you haven't read it, he can't remind you. So we need to read God's word, and he'll remind us of his word. So there may be a situation where we're not quite sure. Lord, should I do this way? And then this small, still voice whispers, no, do it the other way. Do it the other way. Lord, can I hit him? No, you're to love him. Lord, can I take? No, you're to give. You see, if we have it, God will lead us. You don't need me to convict anyone. God's word will do that. You know, if his word is in us, we know when we're doing things wrong, don't we? We do. And you know what? When we persist in doing things wrong, he loves us anyway. That's why when we talk about love, we need to understand what love are we talking about. When we talk about God being long-suffering, it's agape. It's not eros. And it's not philia. And it's not storge. It's far bigger than that. Peter would say to Jesus, because he'd had enough of walking with his foot in his mouth. If you remember, he's in the upper room and he says, now you don't need to wash my feet. Okay, wash my whole body. Well, I'm not going to deny you. I'll never leave you. He understood, he was humble. He didn't say, Lord, you know that I agape you, because he couldn't. But Lord, I filio you. Lord, I have that affection. I have that relationship. You're as close as a brother. You see, God will give us the rest. So my question, do you love me? Do you love me? And in Isaiah 50, 10, I've only got 34 more scriptures, so you will get home for dinner. Do not panic. Isaiah 50, 10. Who among you fears the Lord? There's a question. And obeys the word of his servant. Let the one who walk in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. In John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And what does Jesus say? I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. You see, the love that Jesus has for his friends is far greater than the love that I will have for my friends. Listen, I love you, filio, but I'm not quite sure if I would die in your place. That's the fact. But there are people throughout history, those that are Christians and non-Christians, who have done exactly that. They have substituted their own life for someone else's. You look through where, whenever we've had a war or conflict, there's a, if you ever look at the story of the bridge over the River Kwai, there was someone stole bread and there was a young man about to be executed. And an older man said, it was me, it was I stole the bread. And he was executed in his place. There are men and women that will lay their lives down for what they believe in. And there may be a time that we will lay our lives down for somebody else. Only God knows. But here in the natural, I can brotherly love, I can sisterly love. The love of a family. But for me to truly walk in that agape love, I need God's help. I need his spirit to encourage me. But we can answer that question. When God says, do you love me? We can say, yes, help me to love you more. Because he can't love you any less. It's God's truth. In Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. You see, as we serve one another humbly in love, we show God that we love him. Because that's part of his commandment, to love one another, to serve one another. Let me help you with that. Let me intercede with that. As we come together, as we share around the Lord's table, as we come and we listen to God's word together, as we meet together, as we worship together, as we praise together, as we sing together, as we cry and mourn together. That's love. That's family. That's family. Serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. And we think it's easy. Love your neighbour as yourself. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But it goes on to say, but if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, Paul understood what it was to have that struggle, that tension between the spiritual and the natural. And we was talking today, me and someone else, and it's like, Paul would say, the things I shouldn't do, I find so easy. But the things I should do, I find so hard. Lord, help me with that tension. Help me. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. So if we want to love God and we want to keep his commandments, we need to let the Spirit lead us. When we try to do it in our own strength, we will struggle, we will strive, we will fight, we will bite, we will devour one another. And this is only the church. Imagine what it is in the world. So we need the help of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about love, yes. I want to talk about His grace, yes. His mercy, yes. I want to say to us as a church, God can't love you any less because He hung on a cross for you. And He said, it is finished. He didn't say it's finished if you pay your tithe, did He? It's good to do that. But He didn't say that. He didn't say it's finished if you stack chairs. It's finished if you lead worship. It's finished if you preach. It's finished if you... No, He didn't. He said it's finished. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I do. God knew His struggles. He knows yours. He certainly knows mine. Two scriptures just to encourage you. Luke 10:25. On one occasion, an expert in the law. Have you ever come across an expert in the law? I have many a time. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a good question, isn't it? The answer was this. What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? This is a throwaway comment. God calls you to love your neighbour. How do you read it? Well, I'm too... I say hello in the morning and make sure I don't take their bin by mistake. I'm showing love. I'm to invite them to the barbecue. I'm showing love. I'm to not get mad when they kick their ball over my fence. I'm showing love. How do you read it? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is slow to anger. I fail. Do you fail? I fail. How do you read it? I read it this way. Help me, Lord. Fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. I made a statement some years ago in church, and a lovely, kind expert came up to me to rebuke me on it, because I said this. I said, Lord, fill me afresh because I leak. And he went, what do you mean you leak? You leak. The Spirit of God is in you. I said, listen, the Bible says that I'm an earthen vessel. I'm an earthen vessel. I'm a clay pot. I leak. Lord, help me. Help me. He answered, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, and he asked, and who is my neighbour? When God blesses you, take it. Take it. When God says, I poured out my love for you, take it. When he tells you, I hung on the cross and bled for you, take it. Do not say, yeah, but what else do I need? What else do I need to walk in your love, to experience your love? What else do I need? Just take it. Because this man wanted to test Jesus. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down to... from Jerusalem to Jericho. He told him this story, this parable. And there were these three mighty men that walked on the other side. One did he? The Samaritan. The Samaritan, and when you look through scripture and it talks about the Jews and the Samaritans, we could sum it up by saying the enemy. The enemy of this man came over and he bound his wounds. He put him on his own donkey, which was unheard of. He took him to the innkeeper and he used his own money to bring health and healing to this man's body. And Jesus says, which one loved him? The man who showed compassion. See, if we want to love our neighbours, we need to understand that God loves us. Because when we know that God loves us, then we can show love to our enemies. Those that persecute us. Those that inflict pain on us. Those that say all kinds of horrible things about us. We can endure it because of love. God's love. So when we ask that question, do you love God? then we can say, yes, help us. Finish with this. 1 John 4. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or his sister is a liar. So often we can, those that have the privilege of teaching or preaching or sharing, we can be misunderstood so easily, and we can be offensive. Did you know that? We can be offensive by simply reading scripture. It offends people. How dare you call me a sinner? Well, Jesus just said you're a liar. If, get it into context. He didn't say you're a liar. He said, we love because he first loved us. Thank you, Lord. That means you've received it, yes? You've received it. Whoever claims to love God, I love you, Lord. So, Claire, be careful. I love you, Lord. You've got to love me after this message. I love you, Lord. Yet hates his brother or sister, you're a liar. And that's not me. That's what is said here in this portion of scripture. Is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God. Now, we're talking about the church here. It's hard sometimes to love the world, isn't it? It is hard. It's difficult. But it's not impossible. Why? Because the spirit of love lives in us. The truth lives in us. Remember what was said to the woman? You love because of the truth that's in you. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever does not love their brother and sister who they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. What a challenge, yet what an encouraging word, I hear you say. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their pastor. Oh, isn't that a lovely thought? Whoever, and he has given us this command. Whoever, of anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Are you going to agree with everybody? No. Let's get the word love in perspective. You may not be able to agape your brother and sister. You definitely shouldn't eros your brother and sister. But you can philia. You can storge. You can say, Lord, help me to love them with a brotherly love, with a sisterly love. Help me to see them the way that you see them. See, this is a good word. I want to encourage us by praying as we close. And just ask that same question as I asked at the beginning. Do you love God? And if the answer is yes, then keep his commands. The greatest command is to love one another as I have loved you. And we can do that in a practical way by serving one another. By pointing out our errors. Brother, did you know that if you continue walking this way, you're going to fall into a pit? By serving one another, by saying, I can do that. Let me help you. By receiving the service of one another. It's worth repeating. Ready? By receiving the service of one another. When you allow me to serve you, you are blessing me. When I allow you to serve me, I am blessing you. When you deny my service, you're robbing me of a blessing. Let's not rob one another. Let's accept the love that's given us by the people. Let's accept the love that our brothers and sisters have. And as we walk in obedience to God's word, as we walk in obedience to his call, as we walk in obedience to the love he calls us to lavish on one another, then I believe that we will truly know what it is to agape. Unconditional. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace. Lord, I receive your love afresh today. I know that you love me. And I know that there's nothing I can do to make you love me less. But Lord, I want to love you more. I want to walk in obedience. Help me, Lord. to read your word, to digest your word so that you can convict me of your word. Help me, Lord, to live out this word, to love those around me, even those that are called my enemies. Help me to serve humanity in the love that you've given me. I ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said,